Mitch, thank you for the music. Thank you. Give them a round of applause. They worked very hard on that. You know, everybody, I don't want you to hurt your neck now, but you take a look up there and you look, we have some good sound, but we don't have good sound just because we walk in the building. We have good sound because of Mr. Hamsky up there and Nate and your brother in Christ, MJ, and it's not Michael Jordan. It's Mitch Johnson. Okay? That's why we have good sound here. So thank you for that, guys. Okay? Good morning, by the way. I want to tell you, it's the dash. It's my message here. What you do with your life matters. Have you thought of that? What you do with your life matters. And I was at a funeral a couple weeks ago, and our great pastor Todd here read a poem. And it talked about some things in there, how really short our life is, and it really stuck with me. And so I've started digging in some more of the dash here. But I tell you, it's very important to think about it, okay, because as we know, life is very short, but the life that God gave you, we do not answer to a haphazard God. We do not answer to a dead God. By the way, as Christians, we're the only ones with a living God. The only ones with a living God that's here for us, okay? He does nothing haphazard. And I tell you how important this is because in this community alone, we exceed handing out depression medicine 7 times more than we did 3 years ago. So somebody needs to hear that. Okay, you have value, your life matters. Because in here we say it's so easy, but when we go into the world, it's not always easy. That world out there uses everybody for stepping stones. So to say that we care for people, we do so. I'm telling you, your life matters. God created each one of us to be different. Your life matters. Okay, God knew exactly what he was doing from the beginning here. We see the original intended shape of our lives is to be a reflection of him. His son was the first of humanity to be restored. Okay. Romans 8:29 tells us, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Be conformed to Christ in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Ephesians 4:15 follows up, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is head of the Christ. Philippians 2:5 says, has the mind among yourselves which is yours in Christ Jesus. Okay? John 14:11, believe me that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works of themselves. Okay? Brother Roger, would you lift us up in prayer, please? Thanks, sir. Have you ever walked through a cemetery reading the names and looking at the dates on gravestones? It's crazy seeing the names of people that have passed 20, 40, 60, sometimes 100 years ago. You ever find yourself wondering what life was like back in those times? Looking at those gravestones, I can't help but to think about the fact when it's all said and done, our entire lives is reduced to 2 dates and 1 little dash. Our entire lives is reduced to 2 dates and 1 dash. I look at a person's marker and I wonder, what did they live for? Who did they love? What were their passions? What were their dreams? What are their biggest accomplishments, their biggest regrets? Okay. I want you to picture this. Picture your name. Under your name, your birth date. And then a dash. Next to that, I want two 0, because only Christ knows those last two numbers. I want you to think about that. That's creepy. I understand it. But I care about more where you'll spend today than, you know, spend eternity than how you feel today. I want you to think about this information. Every one of us has one of those days that's on the left. We celebrate it. We're happy. We get cakes. We get candles. We get presents. As one of the bearded guys say, happy, happy, happy. It's all good. But here's the truth. We also have one of those days on the left. We have one of those days on the left, those other ones, okay? Okay. The date on the right of the dash will also be completely filled in one. We don't like to think about it. I apologize that some of you are not comfortable, but I won't apologize for caring how you live the dash, okay? We'll not apologize for that. Yeah. We have no control over our birthday. Understand that? We have no control over our birthday. I didn't say, okay, Friday, 6:30 a.m., February 21st, 1960, I'm going to be born. You know, I say, you know what? I think today's a good day to break my mama's water and hit this water slide and go and join the world. I did not do that, okay? I did not do that there. I had no control of that. Most of the time, I have no control of the following date on the right either. But the great thing is what we do have control over is the dash. We have complete control over the dash. So when you're going through a cemetery and you're looking at the dates, you're visiting out of respect, okay? Don't just see a number. How about that dash? That dash represents my life for Jesus. It represents your life for Jesus. And I see by the expression on your faces, that dash is very important. That's something I heard a couple weeks ago, and I've not been able to get out of my mind here. Okay? Because we know life is very, very short here. So my question for you here is, how are you living your dash? At whatever age you are, whatever age you claim to be, how are you living your dash? Okay? We only get one life. We don't get two. Unfortunately, we're not like cats. We get one. And you know, as you get older, we understand life goes by very fast. At 15, I could not wait to get my driver's license, and my life was in a snail's crawl. At 49 years old, my life is like a gazelle being chased. I wish it would slow down to the turtle snail's pace again. I would love that missile to slow down, but I don't control that. Okay? It goes by quickly. Okay, James 4:18 just tells us, Scripture tells us, why don't you even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. James 4:14. Okay, Psalmist tells us in 102, verse 3, my days disappear like smoke. Psalms 144:4, we are like a breath of air. Our days are like a passing shadow. And Job tells us, my days are running out quicker than the thread of a fast-moving needle. My life is like a breath. Job 7, verses 6 and 7. I think we can agree life is precious, but life is fast. We stand here and we go, wow, how have I been married this long? How am I this age? How did my baby boy get armpit hair? How did my you guys figured that out for your daughter, okay? How did those things happen? When did I get old? When did I woke up with gray hair? And it just flies by and it flies by. I am still trying to prepare for Y2K and figure out how to text from my grandma's rotary phone. That's how fast it is. I cannot catch up. And we look and it just goes and goes. And it's not at any age because it's flying you by when you slow down to look at it. And I don't tell you to press you. I tell you so you can see it and not miss out on something. Don't be the person late in life and go, I missed all that. Nope, don't do it. It's not worth it, okay? King David even understood this right here. In Psalm 39:4, he says, show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. David knew it. David reminded the Lord. He knew how short it was. We know the Lord didn't tell him, okay? Again, we do not get to decide when you're born, when you may pass, but you do get to decide how you're going to live the dash, how you're going to be a husband, how you're going to be a wife,
how you're going to be a son, a daughter. How are you going to be a brother and sister in Christ? You get to decide that, okay? You can't blame that on anybody else. You get to decide that. How are you going to be a grandparent? Are you going to be a godly grandparent? Are you going to be a godparent? Just a grandparent, okay? What are you going to do? How are you living the life that Christ gave you? That's a question. Christians, we're not off the hook. Our life is not our own. It was bought and paid for. So what are we doing? Because to put some pressure on us, Hebrews tells us each one of us as Christians is given one gift. And it even goes further. It says, uses the word employ, which means to put in action. So when I choose to not to sit here and not do anything, and by the way, I will tell you, your church needs you. We need you. You have gifts if you're not involved that none of the rest of us have. We need you. Why is that important? Because when we all understand that, then we're not asking for volunteers from this pulpit. That's how important it is, okay? We do need you. We can have control over it, okay? Are you living it or are you wasting it? Talks about, are you dashing to live, hurriedly, spending precious time chasing things that really matter at the end? Are you chasing things that do not matter? I was smart enough to figure that out at a young age. I said, I need all those things that all the men need. I need the boats. I need the cars. I need my clubs. I need all that. But here's where I messed up. Roger, I wish you would have told me. Nobody told me that I still had to pay for those things. So when you're working for a boat, cars, house, all these toys, you realize how much time that gives you to use them? Exactly. I paid for something somebody else gets to enjoy. So lesson learned, okay? Lesson learned right there. James 4:14, again, he tells us, my days disappear like a smoke. Think about that. Disappear like a smoke. It happens very fast on there. In 2006, Adam Sandler came out with a movie, Click. Anybody see that movie? Remember that movie? Young man aspiring to go up the corporate ladder, has a wife, has children. He's having a hard time figuring out how to balance both, having a wife, the children, and then a career. He wants to make it up the corporate ladder so bad. He's stressed out at his home. He's watching TV. And his remote breaks. He goes to this store, Bed Bath & Body store. This crazy inventor gives him this remote control that he can control his life. He can fast forward it. He can reverse it. He can stop it. How awesome is that? Life is going to be so wonderful for him. Okay? He fast forward, gets promotion. Next thing you know, a year has passed. Okay? The ending of the story is he loses his wife to a divorce and loses his children. And in the very end, everything that he thought he wanted, it came to be a failure. At the end of his life, it came to be a failure for him. And at the very end, he admitted, he said, it's not the life I wanted. So be careful. Sometimes the life you think you want is not the life you really need. The life we need is the life that God has planned for us, for each one of us. And you know what? The life he has planned for you is different from the life he has planned for me. Okay? It's different. He calls Mr. Roger here to do some things that I cannot do, that I'm not gifted to do. He calls Mr. Hartman to do some things that I'm not gifted to do, vice versa. And that's good. Okay? It takes hands, feet, and a complete body to make this church work, to glorify and honor God. Like Michael Newman, some of us get close to what we think is the right-hand date of our dash, and we look back and we go, I've wasted my life. All those years gone, I don't really know what happened. I chased a lot of endless roads. I chased a lot of things that do not matter, okay? And that's not what God intended for our life to be fast forward, okay? He didn't intend for us to chase things that don't matter, the things outside this building that the world consider worldly. In our Bible, it says we're not to be a part of this world. We're to chase godly things, not worldly things, okay? As a servant, being blessed 20 years in this ministry, I get the opportunity to go to nursing homes and to sit with people that, sadly, a lot of people are sitting without their family. And still, in 20 years, I've not had one single person wish they would have worked more. Not one single person wished they would have made more money. But I do have a lot of people that wish they would have spent more time with those that matter and those that count. Because you've heard it many times. There are no U-Hauls behind a hearse. You're not taking it with you. And the worst thing that could happen for me is for my wife or my boys or my friends to stand there and say, he made a lot of money. He made a buku dollars of money. How sad would that be is that's the only memory they have of us? It'd be very sad. You're very, very sad, okay? They don't waste time on insignificant things. People find out their time is short. Only God knows. But you know what? They tend to see the light. When they go, you know what? You may have a month. Hospice seems to be very, very well and equipped to narrow that date down pretty good. I've come to find out in 20 years. They seem to be pretty close. And when people find this out, you know what they do? They seem to get this godly clarity. People they've not liked in church for 15 years, family members that have annoyed them for 50 years, the neighbor kids that they wanted to shoot forever, the neighbor's dog, well, you can figure that one. They get this clarity to go, I've never really liked you, but I'm sorry. Neighbor, I've never really liked you either. Kid, yeah, I don't like you. And they seem to say, you know what, I forgive you. And say, Brittany, I ask you for your forgiveness. I ask you for that. I want to quit being stubborn, and I want to ask you for your true forgiveness. It's like scripture, just God's clarity comes to them. They make the most of their time. So I ask you that question, why do we have to have those moments to realize that life matters? God never intended it to be that way. He didn't intend it to be that way, okay? He absolutely did not. Don't waste time on insignificant things, okay? We all want what our life has to offer from God, okay? There's a life God wants us to live. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. We're not a piece. We're just not another object. We're not, as my grandma used to say, a whatnot. We're a masterpiece, okay? A masterpiece. He created us in new Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You are what? God's masterpiece. Created to do what? Do good things he plans for us. Some of you, if you don't hear anything, you need to understand, you need to remember that when you walk outside these doors, you are God's masterpiece. When the world doesn't care about you, you don't feel like anybody respects you. Nobody loves you. Nobody values you. God does. God does. That's the truth. We need to speak that more often. 1 Corinthians 6:20, you are not your own. You were bought with the price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Okay? Honor God with your body here. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 13 here talks about, for it is just like a man to go on a journey who called his own slaves and trusted his possessions to them. One he gave 5 talents, the other one he gave 2 talents, and a third one he gave 1 talent. He said, do with your ability, and he went. Immediately the one who received 5 talents went and traded it with them, with others, and he gained 5 more talents. The second one that received 2 talents went, did some trading, and he received 2 more. The one that had the 1 talent went away, dug a hole, and buried his master's money. Okay? Understand, every decision you make in life is known by God. The life that you're given is a gift from God. Oh, understand me when I say that. That's easy to tell you that. It's too easy to tell you that. It's really easy to put it on a billboard. It's easy to plaster it up here. It's easy for me to give you all the Facebook memes that tell you how good you are. But here's the issue. If you don't believe it, that's hard. That's the hard part. You need to know that your life matters. Your life has value. Now think about these men here, okay? Vast amounts of money. The master gave the first one 5 and then 2, okay? 1 talent, silver talent, was 15 years of wages, okay? I just gave Roger 75 years, okay?
I gave Mr. Rob there, I gave him 30. And since the third guy really messed up, I won't name him. Okay? So just understand, these guys were living day to day. Anybody live day to day? Has anybody ever lived day to day? Paycheck to paycheck? You know, macaroni to ramen noodles back to macaroni? God created Hamburger Helper for poor people. Okay? You have those. That, or you're talking about these three men, this is what it was. There was only wealth in a few places. There weren't corporations. It was the wealth you think of today. So imagine him being handed 75 years worth of wages. Go do something with. You've absolutely in your life, you've had no authority, no power, no nothing. You're basically, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. If you can manage to do this, then we'll go to step two. To be handed those gifts. Their lives were very routine. They were very predictable. Okay? It was a chance of a lifetime. Okay, the first servant realizes this. He immediately goes to work. He wastes no time because he knows he may never in his lifetime have this opportunity. That's just like some Christians. They get it. God places a calling on them. They get it. You see these people, they just go. Okay? Billy Graham? Anybody heard? Pastor Billy Graham? Yeah, I see a few have heard him. Really good guy. You should look him up. He is a saint. But that's one guy that got it. Got it very early, and he went with it. And he gave his whole life to it. Never stopped. He never decided, well, I'm stressed out from the church. I'm not getting along with that person. I can't. There's nowhere else for me to sit, so I'm going to go just take some time out here. And I want to get out because I need some me time. And that wasn't Billy Graham. He totally gave to the Lord, okay? He gave. Okay, the first servant got this. God is very generous. You believe that? If not, you should look at the blessings around you, okay? I think your blessings would outweigh a whole lot here, okay? Jesus is telling a parable here. The story you wanted people to understand in order to teach them, okay? These parables were powerful, and they were awesome for all of us. Sometimes they get overlooked. It's just another story. I like what my little niece said the other day. She said, Grandma, it's the truth. It's not a story. It's the truth, okay? So just as the master and the servants in his story represent something more, something deeper, the money also represented something, okay? Much more deeper. I want you to, in place of the word talent, I want you to think about your life. Sure, he gave them 75 years of wages, 30 years of wages, 15 years of wages. He gave us a life. He gave us a life. Nobody else offered that to us. Give us the opportunity of a lifetime. And we found out how changing that is from last week through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. The Master has called each of us. We stand before him. Here is some of what he gives us, some of what he offers us when our names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He makes us a new creation. Gone to the old, brings in the new. Cleans up our past, forgives our sin. If you knew before I was a Christian, you wouldn't want me up here. To place his Holy Spirit inside of us. Unlimited access to his throne. I don't have to go through you good people that sit here to talk to Jesus. I can speak to Jesus right now. I no longer have to slaughter an animal to have a relationship with Christ. I don't have to go through these good people or these chosen people to be able to speak. I don't have to go through the rabbi. I don't have to go through the pastor. I can speak with Jesus one-on-one. Okay? One-on-one. You'll not get that with a dead idol. You'll not get that with a memory. You only get that through a living God, and that's Christ Jesus. To be with us always, okay, all the way to the end of ages. To give us hope that is living. Joy that is unquenchable. Peace that surpasses all understanding of purpose. For living inspires you, excites you. That may might not mean a whole lot to you, but stand in a valley with no hope. Stand in a valley with no peace. As one lady said this morning, she, 2018 America, but she's sitting at her table wondering how she was going to feed her and her daughter. How about you all? But I've never went without food, okay? I've not went without food. I've had meals. My family always provided. I always had clothes. I had a roof over my head. And I lose the fact and the sight that to sit at a table in America and wonder what I'm going to eat. And then
how am I going to provide for my daughter? You know what she says? This lady came over and provided for us and provided dinner for us. And she goes, my daughter at school, her lunches came. You know, here's a coincidence. For some of you believers that might be on the leaning line, she goes, coincidentally, my daughter's school lunches came paid for. Folks, God provides for us. I can't tell you that no more. I can't. But you know what? That's a hope. That's a hope that we have, and that's a peace that we have. And it doesn't come from a memory. And it doesn't come from idols and false gods. It only comes from Jesus. Okay? God has given us the opportunity of a lifetime, our creator, our redeemer, our sustainer. He offers to guide us. He gives us wisdom. He encourages us when we fail. He picks us up. We fall. When we're dry, he equips us for every good work of his kingdom. Okay? Life matters. It matters. What we do, what we say for Christ. Okay? Life matters. And here's the thing. Okay? Philippians 2 tells us, 9 through 11, one day God sanctioned Jesus. He is the top person. Okay? There are no others but him. And every knee will bow. Every knee will be bent. Every knee will be broken. And every mouth will confess him as Lord. Whether you do it today or you don't do it the rest of your life, there comes a time it will happen. Romans 14, 11 clearly tells us that. It's going to happen. Okay? It's absolutely going to happen. When it does, I want to be ready. Okay? I want to be ready for this. After a long time, the master comes back from his journey to talk to his three servants. It's time to settle up. Some of you are very familiar with your Bible. You know there's the white throne of judgment, the seat of judgment, okay? We're going to be judged for what we did, for what we didn't do. There's no escaping that. There's no sitting off the road, and I want to take a break. It's going to happen. Settle up the accounts here, okay? You ever wonder why the gentleman with one talent, why he did not do anything? The first one runs, doubles. Second one runs and doubles. Third one, he goes and buries it. Anybody ever curious, wondering, what, Roger, why would he bury what? You've got an opportunity of a lifetime to go. You've got the biggest power, the most powerful person, and you go bury it. Go bury it. Don't understand this. Maybe in his little mind he was mad because he deserved more. In 2018, that could be the mindset. Well, it's an equal world. I deserve more. I want more. Okay, so he chooses to do nothing. He could be like some that procrastinate. I don't know if we have any procrastinators in here that think, you know what, it'll happen later. It's going to slow down. Everything's going to do it. And then this is when I'm going to do this, okay? I remind you, I'm still trying to build that garage that I said I was going to build 16 years ago. And I'm in the world of sales for 20 years, and I'm still working on that first purchase order to come in. So don't hold your breath, okay? Don't. If you can do it today, do it. Because we're not promised tomorrow. You may get it, but I don't know if I want to take that gamble, okay? Because the mindset that we have in America is, I'm going to hit 80, I'm going to be diagnosed with cancer, they're going to come and tell me, hospital's going to say, you've got 30 days. Now you need to settle up and make things right. If you're going to take that gamble, good luck. I'm not taking that gamble. I want to be ready. I'll be ready, Tammy. I want to be ready when he comes. Because we know there are many like a vapor that are gone. Just in our community alone, we've lost a lot of folks that we didn't think we'd lose this early. It happens. That's the reality of it, okay? Very tentative. You know, there's a universal tendency to compare our talents. We compare ourselves with others. We wish we had what belongs to them. You know, I wish I had the physical attractiveness of Nate Hamsky. Okay? I wish I had the hair of Nate Hamsky. Okay? I wish I had it. I wish I had the marriage of Roger and Jeannie. Jeannie's got a lot of wings in heaven, let me tell you. You meet Roger, you understand that. Okay? I wish I had that. Okay? I wish I had that car, that house. I wish I had the hair of Mark Welch, okay? A career or a ministry. But here's the bad thing about that. We spend all our life wishing for the gifts and talents we don't have. So I ask you, what happens with the gifts and the talents that you do have? You get nothing from nothing. Nothing happens. It's inactive. Understand, at the end of the day, God will not ask you why you didn't live someone else's life or invest in someone else's gifts. God will ask you what you did with what he gave you. What did you do with what he gave you? Very important. He's going to settle up. And what we do, our dash matters. Okay, it matters. Have you been comparing your life to somebody that's given more? You feel like you're ripped off, treated unfairly, shortchanged? Okay, here's very important. We got to get to a point in our life where we identify, cultivate, invest, and enjoy the gifts that God's given us. That's very important. Okay? How are you going to grow, and then how are you going to go? And if you don't know it, then you will be the frozen chosen, which means you will sit here and do absolutely nothing, which is not good. Kind of like the third servant we're going to find out, okay? The Lord of the gift is very wise. He knew exactly what he was doing when he created us. He is well pleased that you exist. He's given you every single thing you need to live in this life, okay? You are not shortchanged. You were not shortchanged. You were not meant to live somebody else's life. Like I told them in Sunday school this morning, sometimes we think the grass is greener on the other side. So when it gets dark, we tend to like to make a jump. Well, be careful, because that may be blacktop. And when you land on blacktop, it's hard. It's unforgiving. Okay? It's very unforgiving here. The master is coming back on the day God is going to judge us for what we've done. He's going to ask us about our dash, what we did. We will be held accountable, okay? Matthew 25, verses 20 through 23. Verse 20, the man who had received five talents brought the five. He says, Master, you've entrusted me with five. See, I've gained five more. The master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come share your master's happiness. Servant with two talents here says, Master, you entrusted me with two, and I've gained two more for you. Master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come share your master's happiness. Anybody notice anything about those two verses there? Notice the amounts are different. 75 years of wages, he goes and turns it over to another 75. 30 years, he goes and turns it. You can do the math there. 151, say big difference. Well, in the world today, we want to go, well, the first guy, he made a whole lot of money for Jesus. Second guy, he made some money, but why didn't he make as much? Well, you know what? They got the same reply from the master. You curious why they got the same reply from the master? Because God asked for our best. It wasn't about the money. He wants it. He says, Anthony, I want your best. You may not do what somebody else in this church does, but you give me your best, that's what I want. That's all I ask for is your best. Doesn't matter that somebody else in 75% of you in here can work circles around me, that's fine. But if I go give my best, and it's only 25% of yours, God still loves me. Sorry, hate to tell you that. He still loves me. He wants my best. So whose gauge are you working off of? You working off your gauge, your friend's gauge, or are you working off God's gauge? Because if we don't give him the best, it won't be acceptable. I assure you, it's not going to be tolerated, okay? Imagine what the third servant would say today. Master, if life hadn't been so scary, if you had been more gracious to me, I might have done something more. The reason I didn't do anything is because of you. It's your fault, Jesus. That's why I stayed in the chair. That's why I buried your gift. It's your fault, okay? Accountability came, and he was not ready. He was absolutely not ready, okay? Let me tell you what. You know what God doesn't say? He doesn't say, you know right, you're right, third servant. Maybe I should have been more clear. You misunderstood me. You know, how you live your life and whether you use your gifts or talents in the church, it doesn't matter to me, okay? I see that you've been really uncomfortable, and I'm sorry for that. And my primary goal for your life is to make you comfortable. I want you to be pain-free. I just want you to be happy. I'm really sorry I brought this thing up on you. Let's just bury the whole issue. Please forgive me. Jesus, please forgive me. That's what he will not say. He absolutely, 100% will not say that, okay? Rest assured, we will not hear that. It's important to understand, okay, God's grace. God's grace is, for us, that means we don't get what we deserve. For all the bonehead things I've done, all the crazy non-Christian decisions I've made, God's grace saved me from going somewhere I shouldn't have went. That's what God's grace. But here's what some people think. God's grace's primary goal is to make them have a really nice, comfortable, fun life, zero responsibility to Christ, and zero accountability. I can live as I want in 2018. I can do as I want. I can even claim to be what I want in 2018. Jesus loves me. He does love you. Okay? He does love me. When your children mess up, you still love them? You still discipline them? Yeah. Yes, exactly. Absolutely. The Lord is the gift, okay? The Lord of the gift is also the Lord of the settled account. So he says right here, 26, we put in Matthew 25, 26, he says, "But his master answered, said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money into bank. Upon my arrival, I would have received money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. He wasn't worthy to have it. For to everyone who has more shall be given, and he who have an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he does not, he shall be taken away." Shall be taken away. Okay? Throw out this worthless slave into the outer darkness. That's pretty harsh. In a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The master was furious. Okay? His biggest problem was third servant gave him his least and not his best. You notice he didn't even argue. The master didn't argue, didn't tolerate. Because I tell you this, because we're in a world today where let's negotiate, Mom. Let's negotiate, Dad. I know that I did something wrong. I know I'm going to get disciplined, but let's negotiate this deal. Okay, if I go to bed 5 minutes early, all this negotiation stuff, and God doesn't negotiate like that. Doesn't negotiate. Didn't even argue with him, okay? We bear responsibility again for our life. Okay? Understand, he has no intentions of settling for anything but our best. So when you do something for Christ, is it your best for him? Is it your least? Good question for you. Only you can answer that. Okay? In the art of leadership, it's called what the third servant did. It's called the sin of the unrealized potential. Sin of the unrealized potential. The willful refusal to not use the gifts and develop the life God has given us. The willful refusal. That means when I refuse to do what God's called me to do, God's gifted me to do, God's leading me to do, I refuse it. But I still claim his name. The willful and rebellious choice to choose life in a fast-forward life. Okay? What you do in your life matters. It's a gift from God. Sadly, sometimes we don't see it as a gift to God. One day God will come back and I pray to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." In Revelation 3:21 here, "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sit with my Father on the throne." Okay? I want to live my dash well. As a Christian, if I wasn't a Christian in this building, if I wasn't a son of God, I'd probably live my dash in a sinful way and do my thing. But you know what? I'm not. I'm a member of Esther Baptist Church. I am a Christian son of 20 years. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the great thing is none of you can remove it, okay? It's written. So I want to live the dash the way that Christ wants me to live it. I want to live the purpose that he has. How about you? How do you want to live it? I want you to imagine your life is over. You're led to a room. There are two chairs in a room. One is for you, one is for God. There's a DVD staring you in the face. God pops in a DVD, it has your name on it, and then it's labeled what might have been. Directed by God. Watching all that God wanted you to do throughout your life, if he would have let him. Would have stopped fast-forwarding through life or living life for your selfish self. Okay? Imagine seeing all the lives you could have touched, the hopeless situations you could have changed with just your words, your love, your care, that you could have changed. Seeing what God could have done with your financial resources if you would have trusted him generously with your first fruits. Malachi, test me. I will open the windows and rain out riches on you. Seeing what I might have done in your relationships if you trust him enough to be fully truthful and fully loving. Seeing what I might have done with your character if you'd have confessed real sin. Acknowledge your temptations, your failures, and pursue growth in Christ. Again, what you do with your life really matters, okay? We let a lot of things hold us back. We let a lot of things keep us from stepping forward to be the person God wants us to be. We don't have to do that. We really shouldn't do that. We should be the person God, we should be the man that God calls us, the lady that God calls us, any age. Time to stop letting things hold us back, folks. What you do in your life really matters, okay? Here's the good news. Our life is not complete yet. No matter what your age, what your circumstance, where you're at, your life is not over yet. What you do right now matters. What you do when you go outside these doors matters. You can take this message and throw it in the can. I'm not accountable for you, but I'm accountable for giving what God puts in my heart. And that's the growth. And so many times we want to go, I hear as a leader in this church, well, let's go outside, let's go, go, go. Well, I think we might need to grow, grow, grow before we go, go, go. Because if we're not strong in the faith, and we're not strong in our 66 books, and we don't know what God's calling us to do, we don't know where to lead. How do we go out there and give his gospel? How do we do that? That's a question I have. Are you living the dash Jesus has for you, okay? Ephesians 4:1, I urge you have been chosen by God to live up to the life which God has called you. And Brother Nate, come on up, buddy. I don't know what's on your heart. I don't know what you're going through now. I don't, okay? Romans 10:9 tells us, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. I can only tell you what I know. I'm not disappointed. I was a good person. You know, as I told him earlier, I didn't hurt dogs. I wasn't an alcoholic. I wasn't a drug abuser. I didn't do all the other crazy things. I wasn't in that. I was a good person. You know where good people go without Jesus? Exactly. Exactly. I needed Jesus. Jesus has led me to be a better person, a better father. Am I perfect? No. I fail every day. Probably fail double what you do. But you know what? He's there to pick me up. He's not there to kick me. He's there to love me. He's there to encourage me. And he gives me family around me to lead me. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know where your life is at right now. You may be content and say, you know what, I'm doing exactly what he's calling me to do. Amen. I hope to pray to be there one day because I'm not there now. So I don't know if this is your church. I don't know if you're looking for a church. I don't know. Only you know. This altar's open. You're more than welcome.